You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcasting Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. I am joined by my co-host, Chris Thornton. You can tell already in my voice, I'm sure, that I'm upset, as we all are, as the Jaguars are fresh off of a loss to the Blaine Gabbert-led Arizona Cardinals. Just take it in, accept it. I know a lot of us haven't done that yet. I'm still struggling to do it. Some people are starting to get over it and are saying on to Indianapolis, but it was tough to watch as the Jaguars, who were looking to clinch their first non-losing season in 10 years against the quarterback that caused so many problems and pretty much everyone in the entire Jacksonville city, the entire area, really has a bad taste in their mouth from in Blaine Gabbert. But the Cardinals took them down 27-24. We're going to do some takeaways, a rapid recap. Won't take too long, but Chris, go ahead and give me some of your takeaways from today's game. What stood out to you the most?
Blaine Gabbert is not as bad of a quarterback as everybody has made him out to be. That's my first statement. I actually kind of in the preseason really liked Gabbert and the way he looked, and made a bunch of jokes earlier. I was like, huh, wonder if we would sign Gabbert back. But in all honesty, Gabbert looked pretty good, and he had his moments that Jags fans are like, oh, here's where Blaine Gabbert's going to Gabbert. But Gabbert essentially went against this top-ranked Jaguars defense and kind of picked it apart, really. I mean, I tweeted out during the game. I just took a picture of, like, a coverage chart from the defense and just circled a big circle in the middle of the field. And I said, this is the Jags Achilles heel, because it is. When teams have success against the defense passing, it's all across the middle of the field. Losing Telvin Smith didn't help, though. Even when he was in, it was not looking too good defensively. They stepped it up towards right. The end. But I mean, it didn't look like the number one pass defense in the league.
It didn't whatsoever. I was disappointed just all around. The run game couldn't take off. The only person that could actually run was Bortles. He led the team. He had 2 rushing touchdowns. Pulling up his stats right now, 62 rushing yards on 6 carries. He had a really bad day as a passer, and everyone's trying to excuse him because he ran and his 2 scores kept them in the game, which doesn't fly with me whatsoever, because the quarterback is there for passing. Running is just kind of a bonus. I don't want to get too heated into it because the timeline already hates me for it. I'm here for them to at least try Chad Henne for about a half of football. That's really all you need to do. If Henne sucks, if he is somehow some way worse than Bortles, which it's impossible to be worse than what Bortles was today. I'm just going to be totally honest with you. I mean, like I said, the mobility thing, it's not a valid excuse. In terms of passing, if he somehow is worse or even just is as bad as Bortles, great, you pull him. There's really nothing else that you can do at this point. Otherwise, you're just accepting what Bortles is going to hand you. And we saw that today. It was really bad. Chris, I know, and we both will obviously say that at the same time, the receivers had some drop issues. I will still blame Bortles for the most part, but I knew you wanted to talk about the receivers a little bit too, because at the same time, the drop issues they had today won't fly.
Yeah, it seems to be kind of the reoccurring story is that, I mean, Didi had some nice catches. There's some nice catches a little everywhere, but ultimately it seems like over half of the passes that Blake does put on, like, because Blake will put plenty of passes on the money. Like, there's a lot of passes that he's just putting them right where they need to be, and the receivers are just flat out dropping them. I don't know what it is. It's like they're just scared to catch the ball, or maybe they're not expecting the ball to be there. But just, it seems like the easiest passes, they're just dropping. Like, especially the Marquise Lee one on second down at the very end of the game, which shouldn't have even been a pass. But it was, and it hit Marquise just dead center in the hands and chest, and he just drops it. Just drive killers. Jags seemed to be kind of facing the refs again, though a lot of people were kind of blowing it out of proportion because the Jags actually got a lot of calls for them.
They did.
That
for like the first time in forever.
It was we were getting a lot of kind of BS pass or roughing the passers, but I mean the Jags fans and just people in general will just find something to kind of latch on to their wagons onto these false narratives to kind of give themselves hope when things are just not going good.
Kind of like Blake as a running quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, nobody can tell you that Blake is good, and he's not. He has his moments. We want him to be good. I think that's the biggest thing is Jags fans want him to be good. It's not like this dude that just everybody hates. Everybody, I think, genuinely likes Blake as a person, and they just really want him to succeed as a quarterback, but it's just all it's not looking that way, and it won't probably ever be that way. But
no, 100%, yeah.
Going back to your kind of Chad Henne for a half thing, I kind of have to disagree with that because everybody's kind of making it seem like it's the end of the world, but we're in December, 5 games left, still have a 3 game above 500.
Well, my thing with it now is that, you know, people are catching on. The offense has scored 5 touchdowns in the past 4 games. Like, teams are going to catch on to that. They know now, like, the Cardinals, how many times did they not stack the box today? And they're not doing that because they're trying to stop Fournette. They're doing it because they know that that's how they'll beat Bortles. And if you can get Henne in there, and Henne sucks. Like, I'm going full disclosure on this. I know Henne isn't good. So anyone that's saying that I think he's the answer is lying. And I've seen that people said that. So I'm putting it out there. That's a lie. At the same time, he doesn't throw the errant, like, what kind of pass was that Bortles will throw. He doesn't make you, like, hold your breath when he drops back. He just does the boring dink and dunk passing that no one likes. But that's what the Jaguars want Bortles to do. That's exactly what they're trying to get out of him, and he can't even do that. So if you got someone that, yeah, that's all they offer you is the little dink and dunk passes, but he's not getting these turnovers or these really bad throws, I don't see why you don't try it. They're 7-4, and I get that, and they're still a playoff team, but teams are catching on. Like and it's only going to get harder. Even though the schedule is easier, if they make the playoffs, they're not going to be playing these easy, poorly coached teams. Like, they're going to be going against teams that will do exactly what Arizona did all day today. And that's, hey, you could try it with Bortles. We really don't think you can do it. And Cardinals, they have a decent defense. I don't think their defense is great, but they were able to get a pass rush going and they were able to bother him. I think you get a guy like Henne in there and you have him try just for one half, just so you could say, hey, yeah, we tried. We tried all our options that we have and it didn't work. That's fine. If you do one half and he sucks, then you put Bortles back in and you tried. That's it. That's really all I care for.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. And like I said, a lot of people could obviously fight for or against it. First I'm just going to come out and say that I'm officially ending my campaign to bring Alex Smith to Jacksonville.
Yeah, he also sucks.
Sully is right. He's in fact bad.
Start Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, he was abysmal today to watch. I mean, I only watched like 5 or 10 minutes of his game from B-dubs, and it was just the pick six or the almost pick six that he threw at the end of the Bills Chiefs game to just ice it for the Bills to win.
That's like the only throw you needed to see all day, and it was just kind of a good summary of Alex Smith, of him, you know, throughout the day.
So I guess we're officially on to Tyrod Taylor or whoever hits the market that wants to come to Jacksonville.
I'm here for Tyrod and a draft pick. I don't want to pay Kirk that much money when I look back at it more and more.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of giving anybody that much money unless their name is Aaron Rodgers.
And that's a discussion for another day, obviously, you know, what are you going to do, blah, blah, blah. I'm more focused. That's the only reason why I say play Henne, because that's the only thing you can do right now.
Yeah. This is the point of the season that I think a lot of us were expecting that we would. Well, I don't think anybody was expecting this many wins at this point in the season, but this is the point of the season where people would kind of be like, huh, you know, we have a guy on the bench, and his name is Brandon Allen, and, you know, maybe see what he can do. But, you know, we're left with this two-headed, terrible monster of Chad Henne and Blake Bortles, and we're just trying to find the head that doesn't kill our own team the most.
I think that's enough dwelling on the quarterbacks right now. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Jaguars hosting the Indianapolis Colts this upcoming week, see if they can bounce back from this loss to Blaine Gabbert.
Are you trying to buy or sell your home, but having issues with the common realtor? At the KST Real Estate Group, you need not worry. Rather than relying on traditional marketing methods, KST uses a proprietary online approach to buy or sell homes in your desired location. But don't just take our word for it. Here's a testimony from a previous KST customer.
This comes from Matthew. To begin with, Tom was an all-around excellent buyer's agent. Considering I was a first-time home buyer and there were many things I was unaware of, Tom answered every question I had and made me aware of the things I overlooked. I specifically remember calling Tom multiple times a day as we went back and forth on a few houses, and he answered every call and had an answer to every question. I ended up getting my first home under appraised value and felt really good about the process and purchase. I highly recommend Tom to anyone, from first-time homebuyers to experienced homebuyers. Tom is wise beyond his years, and it is evident through his work as an agent. I will continue to use Tom in the future and continue to recommend him to friends and acquaintances who are in search of a new home.
Call the KST Group at 904-735-0609 or visit kstrealestate.com for more info. KST, the modern way to buy or sell your home.
So we head into this matchup against the Indianapolis Colts, who the Jaguars boat raced last time that they played them. And I mean, it's hard to talk positively about the Jags right now after today, because I'm very upset, disappointed, just still the whole Blaine Gabbert thing. But I mean, that gives us a little hope, and now it's going to be at home where they play this abysmal Colts team that they've run over before. Do we see at least the defense return to normal, like we saw them, how well they played against Indianapolis last time?
I sure hope so, and I think they will. I think it was kind of a down day for the defense. I mean, Tashawn Gibson came out like about 30 minutes ago from when this pod posted or recorded, and he basically flat out said, I think a lot of us on defense underestimated Blaine Gabbert and didn't give him the credit that he deserved, and I think that's true. I mean, there was a lot of broken plays that in the past they wouldn't have let happen, and right. I think that's what's going to really separate this team as a whole from a great team to a good team, because great teams approach every matchup the same. I'm sure there's probably no coincidence that the way the Patriots game plan against teams is why they have 5 Super Bowl rings in the last 20 years.
Right.
And I mean, Maroon's taking the fault for this loss today. Because, I mean, the play calling wasn't good, but, I mean, just the last drive play calling, just run it out, because the Cardinals obviously seem content going to overtime, and then you give them basically a free timeout, and they're like, oh, well, now maybe we could do something. And then the defense plays prevent, which somebody said in my mentions, prevent just means prevent from winning, and that's what we did. We prevented ourselves from winning by letting Phil Dawson hit his longest career field goal at age probably 40. But I think they'll bounce back. Calais said it after the first loss of the season against the Tennessee Titans. Good teams don't lose twice in a row, and the Jags haven't lost twice in a row this year, and I'm really hoping, and I don't think that it will happen, the losing twice in a row, and I think we will get a win against the Colts, barring any major injury or anything like that. Hopefully Telvin clears through the NFL concussion protocol fast and gets through that healthily. I thought he was going to be back in, and then they took him out again, so let's hope he heals up fast. Hopefully Omame Parnell are just about ready to come back. It's not promising that they didn't travel with the team, but then again, just give them that extra rest,
right?
Because we are entering a playoff push, and I forget who on Twitter said it, but the Jags basically control their destiny. 5 games left in the season, 3 in division opponents, 3 games at home, 2 of them being against divisional opponents. 3 games in a row starting this week against the Colts, then the Seahawks, then the Texans. There's some must-win football coming up. It's not, you can lose maybe one more game because I don't see the Titans losing many more games either. You basically have to win out if you want a solid chance at a good seed in the playoffs.
In my opinion, they need to win the rest of their AFC South games. The other two games, it's kind of whatever to me. I say that because I think they will with ease beat San Francisco. Seattle, I could see it going either way, really. I don't know. The AFC South games are obviously because that comes into account with the AFC and seeding, as well as just your division, who will win it out. Those will obviously be the most important games, but they win those and suddenly they're at 10 wins right there. And then plus if they wins against Seattle and San Francisco.
Yeah, if you get 3 wins, I think that locks up the division. You sweep the Texans, you sweep the Colts, and then you split with the Titans. That will probably give you the AFC South. But for the 49ers, I don't think that's going to be as easy of a game as everybody's saying.
What did they even do today? I mean, Jimmy G got put in.
Jimmy G got put in through a touchdown on, I think, his only pass as time expired in the game. So, I mean, it didn't mean anything. But if you look at the team, they're close to becoming a good team. Like, they're a few pieces away, like the Jags were for a while. But, I mean, if you look on defense, you have Reuben Foster, Solomon Thomas, guys like that. Offense, you have Jimmy G. You have weapons on offense. But I don't think it's going to be as easy of a cakewalk as it kind of shows on the schedule, because everybody thought that with the Browns, and look where that put us. I don't think there's any team remaining on this schedule that the Jags can just treat as a cakewalk anymore. I mean, it's the NFL. You can't treat any team like that. You saw what they probably did with the Browns, and the Browns gave them run for their money until the last minute in the fourth quarter. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping this loss stings a little bit with these guys, because they were riding high. They were riding on a 4-game win streak en route to not having a losing season. And I think this might be something the Jags needed. I think they kind of needed a reality check and to just kind of reevaluate everything. And just everybody needs to give it 110% these next, I'm going to say, 8 or 9 weeks. I mean, 5 games left in the season. I want a postseason run.
And looking at it on a week-to-week basis, Calais Campbell said to start the year, good teams don't lose 2 in a row. They haven't done that yet. So coming home, playing against the Indianapolis Colts, the miserable Indianapolis Colts, they have to win this week.
It's a must win. I mean, I'm going to say that every week, that it's a must win, because wins, you just need them. But yeah, this is a game that if you lose, you are seriously jeopardizing the AFC South crown. And maybe if it puts you in a 2-game lose streak, your first thing, I mean, it's probably going to have some morale effects. You'll probably lose some of your home field advantage again to lose to the lifeless Colts. But yeah, I'm deeming this a must win from several perspectives and points.
Myself too. And I'm figuring that'll just about do it for us here today, unless, Chris, do you have any other last second points before we wrap it up?
Yannick Ngakoue at 10 sacks on the season, so he has officially hit my projection for what I had in the season. He has 9, a stat that kind of was brought up to me today. He has 10 career forced fumbles in 27 games, which is ridiculous. Yannick Ngakoue, I saw an article, I believe it was from FBL Rave. Yannick Ngakoue does not get enough respect in this league as a pass rusher. Calais had a touchdown against his former team, which was ridiculous and perfect way for him to kind of go, besides getting a win, of course, back to Arizona. He's still chasing that sack record for the Jags, which Yannick and Calais, are right there to both get that. So there's some positives to look at this, but I think the Jags, I truthfully think they'll bounce back from this. I think from all aspects of the ball, I'm hoping that the offense, I hope Fournette gets healthier. I mean, he's had over half the season to heal up, so I don't know about that. He said he truly won't get healthy till the offseason, but we need him to come alive. I think Blake's going to kind of have a bounce-back performance. He seems to be pretty resilient this year. Receivers, you got to help Blake out. That's really my biggest thing. And then defense is gonna show out next week.
Let's hope so. We will be checking in with you guys throughout the week. We'll be getting started once they start releasing injury reports. We'll get those recordings done, go in on Jacksonville offense versus Indianapolis defense and vice versa. Maybe try and get a guest on this week. We're not sure yet. We'll let you know as we get into it. Go Jaguars. Hopefully they bounce back next week.